Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning. My name is Kevin Bruin. I'm the superintendent of the New York State Police, and I'd like to welcome Governor Hochul back for, I can't tell you how many times she's been here, but I know she was here when we stood up our multi-state gun initiative, our gun task force, with partners from across the Northeast, and she's here today for the kickoff of our intrastate, or actually our second meeting of the intrastate gun group. The governor has made it plain to me that this is a top priority for the state police, to stop gun violence, to stop the illegal flow of guns. We've had tremendous success due to the support of the governor and the focus that the governor has provided us. We all know that guns move illegally across state borders. They move between communities. And they pose an ever-present and existential threat to our communities. Gun traffic investigations can be challenging, difficult, and require a lot of hardcore work, which is what's happening right now upstairs. Governor Hochul has been unwavering in her support of this agency and unwavering and focused on, from day one, on her efforts to get this problem to be solved right away. I'd like to welcome and introduce Governor Kathy Hochul.
Thank you, Superintendent, for welcoming back to the State Police Intelligence Center. I just attended a meeting of the New York State Gun Consortium at the center, a regular gathering of individuals who come together from all parts of our state with the federal government involved, the special agent in charge of the FBI and ATF. We have the U.S. attorney here. We also have local district attorneys. We have state police embedded with our friends in local government, local policing agencies, such as the sheriffs and as well as many town police's departments as well. In light of what happened yesterday in Texas, you get to a point where you feel there are no words left. But those people deserve our words. So we will muster up the courage to just call out what we just experienced as a nation once again. The outrage, the disgust, the sick feeling in our stomachs. As Americans, as New Yorkers, and as parents. But we will never become immune to this or desensitized to it, because that is when we start losing the battle. We must harness that outrage and that anger and that disgust that there could be someone with such wanton evil in their heart that they would acquire an AR-15, go to a schoolyard after shooting their own grandmother and opening up on innocent children and teachers. It doesn't happen in other countries. Rarely. It happens in a nation that seems to revere the rights of gun owners and the ability to possess guns over the right of children to stay alive or to go to a school without fear of having to duck or run that also has a long-term effect on the psyche of the children, not just to experience that, but our children all across this nation, whose parents hugged them a little bit tighter this morning as they packed them off to school with the hope that they will see them at the end of the day. The children of today have been through so much. They don't deserve that. They're innocent. They look to adults to be responsible. They look to us to protect them. And they have the right to be protected by the adults who govern this country. Whether it's in Congress, whether there has been too long an abdication of responsibility, and if we couldn't get background checks after Sandy Hook, the slaughter of first graders, simply saying, can people have one more requirement before they can walk in and purchase a gun, that we finally find out of what they're talking about on social media, what their neighbors have observed, what record they may have. We can't even afford that background before someone can acquire this weapons. Because we're doing what we can here in the state of New York. We have laws that we're proud of, and although I'll be talking about ways we want to enhance them. But as long as the illegal guns are out there somewhere, they find their ways to the streets of New York as well. That is why we stood up not just this intrastate task force where we share information within our boundaries, which is why I said, no, these guns are coming from other states. Let's get them at the table. And so we have had a number of successes. We have more work to do, and I'll talk about some of our successes. But just this morning, as we're all reeling with the pain, I'm asking myself as governor, am I supposed to just leave all the flags at half-mast? They're still at half-mast from Buffalo. No, I don't want to. So we harness this anger. We talked about what we can do. We work with our legislative leaders, how we protect people. Because right now we are 500 feet from a preschool. We're 1,000 feet from Columbia High School. And protect everyone in the state, we convened an emergency meeting this morning of the state police. And I said, are we doing everything possible? And I said, I want state police patrols visiting our schools, doing daily check-ins every single day from today till the end of the school year. Because I want parents who have enough to worry about in their daily lives, the cost of gas at the pump, the cost of the groceries, maybe putting aside a little money for college tuition. They have enough to worry about. Let them know that the state police and their local law enforcement are going to be there to protect them, both uniformed and plain clothes officers. But let's talk about getting these weapons off our streets. I'm proud of the work our interstate task force has already done to date as a result of this intentional, aggressive approach. We are now seizing more than 60% more guns per month than we had in the past. That is a good dynamic, although it'd be nice to get to a point where we don't have the guns to seize, but at least we're getting them out of the hands of people who would do harm with them. We have over 513 firearms seized by the state police. Statewide, if you combine New York City and us, New York City 2,000, across elsewhere in the state, non-state police 1,500. That's over 4,105 firearms seized just recently. We also took action against the ghost guns, as they're more properly called, privately made firearms. And as we finally now have banned them, I was proud to sign a law to make them illegal here in the state of New York. We are now seizing many, many of these guns as well. We've seized over 348 total statewide, 55 by our state police alone. And the number of those guns, they're just flowing in from Pennsylvania. And that is why our interstate gun interdiction task force is finding ways to stop them at the borders, finding ways to identify what's going on at the gun shows where they're so readily available out of state. And we started over 300 gun tracing investigations, forwarding 55 leads to 22 states. That is the cooperation I wanted when I stood this up a few months ago. So we're going to continue doing that. We also are pushing legislation. I announced a bill that we need even more help on the information sharing piece. It sounds dry, but people always say after there's been a crime, even after 9/11, you got to connect the dots. You have to see who knew what, when. Did they share it? Why didn't they share it? Is there a barrier to them sharing it? Well, I don't have any patience for barriers, my friends. I'm patient. I'm saying break down the barriers, share the information, and I want a law change that requires all New York State law enforcement agencies to report the recovery of any gun to our state agencies, state police clearinghouse, within 24 hours. Enter that into a National Crime Information Center. Submit the information to the National Integrated Ballistic Information Network and see if it's been used in past crimes. That'll help our efforts. We also, as I mentioned the other day, want a bill change so we require micro stamping on all semi-automatic pistols. What does that do? It creates a fingerprint on the bullets, an incredible tool to help our law enforcement share information when they identify bullets, guns that have been used in other crimes. And again, the other gun loophole I mentioned, where we had any other weapons. The manufacturers and the criminals are very clever at trying to evade our state laws, but I want to make sure that's done as well. But I have a question to ask. How does an 18-year-old purchase an AR-15 in the state of New York, state of Texas? That person's not old enough to buy a legal drink. I want to work with the legislature to change that. I want it to be 21. I think that's just common sense, because as we've just seen from the two horrific crimes that we can't get out of our minds, what happened in Buffalo, what happened in a school, children in Texas, the common denominator, there are three. The weapon was an AR-15. The perpetrator was a male. And the age of the perpetrator was 18. I don't want 18-year-olds to have guns. At least not in the state of New York. So I'm happy to share our information about our work. We're going to continue focusing on this. There are just days left in the session, but I know, and I just had a meeting with the members of the Brooklyn delegation, there is a strong commitment. Our legislators want to work with me as the governor of the state to say, we can do more. We will do more. And I will not sleep at night until I know that everything has been done humanly possible to protect New Yorkers and to help them heal from what we witnessed in our own state, the slaughter of innocent neighbors, going to a grocery store, buying a birthday cake. And a lot of little kids who aren't going to have a birthday. Any questions?
Governor, can you clarify what you just said about the 21-year-olds? Do you want that only to apply to AR-15s or all guns?
I want to work with the legislature to do something that is far more common sense than we have right now. At minimum, the AR-15s. But I'm going to take a look at everything.
And on the issue of micro-stamping, I mean, that is an issue that's been around in Albany for a long time. California has had a lot of trouble with their law over the years since they implemented it in 2007. How do you avoid those issues in California? And do you have confidence that this is the year that micro-stamping gets done?
We have just a few days left in the session. I hope that the legislature understands, why this is important. I'll work with them. We watched closely what happened in California. Sometimes when another state goes first, you can learn from mistakes and approaches. And the industry has been very resistant in California, but the industry needs to wake up and say, we'll be partners in this. Because I would think that given the liability involved, that they want to do everything they can to make sure that their products are not used in the commission of any crime, and certainly not in the commission of a mass slaughter of innocent children. So in my judgment, it's in the interest of the manufacturers to make sure that what they create has this capability to allow law enforcement to do their job so their product is not used in the commission of a crime. So we need to just change the mentality around this. This is not punitive. This is just a simple way to say, this was used illegally. The bullet is discharged at that second. It gets this identifying mark on it, and that is going to be used to help identify whether or not this weapon has been used in the commission of other crimes. So we know the California model, well familiar with it, and we're going to do a lot of education and make sure that people know that this is common sense. But I'll be very honest with you. Doing this alone in the state of New York is not going to solve the problem as long as the guns, the bullets, and the high-capacity magazines, as we saw happen in Buffalo, come in from another state. So this is where if the federal government won't do what they need to do, then I'm calling on other state governments, Democrat and Republican leaders, because the shooters aren't picking their states based on the politics of that state. They're obtaining these guns, and they're using them on fellow American citizens. We have to do everything we can to stop that.
Can you talk a little bit more about kind of the challenge that you're facing right now, not with the mass shootings on the one hand, but also you've got, you know, say a situation like in the New York City subway where an individual was shot the other day by someone who recently turned themselves in, but, you know, they seem kind of interconnected but also kind of parallel to a certain degree. You've got these mass shootings and these kind of random acts of violence as well on the subways.
And I want you to know, and I've spoken about this before, that I don't disconnect the mass shootings that get a lot of attention, everybody talks about for days until people become immune and move on to the next topic, which I never will. This is seared in my heart, these stories. But the tension moves on. But in the meanwhile, every single day, there are people being shot with guns in the city of New York, and in Rochester, in Syracuse, in Buffalo. Those lives matter as much as the lives that are lost when there's a mass shooting, and we don't forget that. And so, as I mentioned to the meeting I had with the Brooklyn delegation this morning, I said we have to focus on the street crimes as well. And the subway has to be safe, not just feel safe, it has to be safer. So back when we had back in January, before we had had either any of the subway shootings, I went to the subway with Mayor Adams and said, I will bring to bear all the resources of the state police to help you with your policing of the subways. The state runs the subways. The city of New York polices them. But it doesn't matter who's responsible. We're all in this together. So, yes, you're absolutely right that we need to restore the sense of sanity in the city of New York and other cities where people are getting their hands on these guns, obviously able to carry them, and this is what scares me the most about the Supreme Court changing the concealed carry laws, that it'll be easy. You can't stop someone who's walking around with a concealed weapon if they render the judgment that I'm afraid they may. And I'm not losing sight of all the different approaches to this, whether it's funding, record funding for the violence disruption programs, former gang members who go in and work with young people. We have to give people a different path and deal with the root causes. But also, you're absolutely right. Something that happens on a subway to an innocent person on his way to brunch, that also strikes fear in the hearts of people, and we have to overcome that. We absolutely have to overcome that.
If the Supreme Court were to overturn that concealed carry law, would you consider calling a special session to address that?
Yes. Yes, I would. We will have to figure out. And I know it took about 7 years to get to the Supreme Court in this case, I think it was. I'll do whatever I have to do to protect people of this state.
Got it. Governor, a federal court has struck down a ban in California for the purchase of semi-automatic rifles for people under 21. What gives you confidence that a similar law on AR-15s could survive a court challenge in New York? And could you also elaborate on what daily check-ins by state police mean at schools? Is it every school? Is it an officer physically going to the school?
Sure. I can let the superintendent talk about that, but you know, I'm not going to let my fear of losing a court case to stop me from what I think is correct for New Yorkers and will protect them. Because you may get a good judge also that actually cares and has common sense and would understand that these are not punitive measures. These are laws that, you know, take into consideration the rights under the Second Amendment. We understand that. But don't tie our hands when it comes to our desire to stop the scourge of gun violence, whether it's in the streets of New York or in a grocery store in Buffalo. We have the right to protect people as well, and I'll make that argument in court any day of the week. Superintendent, can you describe what's going to happen with our following our meeting this morning?
So we are physically going to schools that are in our patrol area. We're also reaching out to schools and school administrators that aren't necessarily in our patrol area. We are not going to duplicate efforts. So if a city police department or a county sheriff is doing something, we'll move on to the next place so that resources will be applied appropriately. But we have other education, and we're pushing out, kind of reminding school administrators on school safety measures. And I'm not necessarily going to get into right here now, but we get it out to the school administrators, make sure that their staff are aware, and make sure that the school folks call police when they feel they need to and before that there's a problem. I can't stress enough that the biggest challenge that we have in this state for fighting street crime or other events like this is when communities and police become separate. If the community trusts the police and the police in turn trust their own communities and cooperate, it is a force multiplier on an exponential basis in terms of effective justice and policing. So I've got to stress that as much as I can, that police agencies need to reach out and communities need to reach back out to the police, and we need to reestablish better relationships across the state, which the state police says have done in the past year. We've done that.
What are your thoughts on making sure that school resource officers can get into every school?
I don't necessarily take a position on school resource officers. Those are community-based decisions. But if that is the bridge that builds trust between a community and a police agency, I'm all for it.
Governor, I have a question about the Regents exam. We know that the Regents, they just canceled them because it could possibly trigger trauma for students. We reached out to your office, and a spokesperson said the State Education Department is not under control of the executive chamber, and they have not disclosed additional details. So what are your thoughts? Were you aware of that decision, and what do you think? Do you agree with the decision?
I was not aware. I found out when the public did, just further confirmation that State Education Department is not an executive agency. Not sure where that decision came from in the past, but they issued this. I'm not aware of the offending language that they were concerned about. I want our schools to get back to normal. I want people to be doing what they're supposed to be doing, but I have to defer to their judgment because I don't have the same information that they would have.
Governor, last question. Governor, do you think that the state has enough on its books, particularly for law enforcement, to deal with screening for extremism outside of an ERPO, where it's ultimately up to a judge? Do you think that law enforcement needs other tools or school counselors, whoever it is, to figure out extremism, racism, white supremacy?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is why one of our other initiatives is to create the first ever domestic terrorism unit within the state police, where we're going to bring together experts to come together and put together an education campaign and to work with not just local law enforcement, but also with the schools and the people most likely to come in contact with individuals. Because the whole idea behind the red flag law is that you're asking people to make a judgment based on their own experiences of, you know, what is being said that might make you think that that person could cause harm to themselves or others. And that's what's supposed to initiate the red flag law. but they don't have the training. How do they know? How do they know what information is out there? And that is incumbent upon the state, in my opinion, and that's why we're starting on this path to make sure that we provide those services. We also did mandate that, you know, under executive order just a couple days ago, that the state police are required to act on their training and institute the red flag law when they think that someone who could do harm to themselves or others have access to guns. And that's exactly, we had a case, literally I think it was the day after the Buffalo shooting, or close in time and proximity, Grand Island, where one of our police officers stopped an individual and he was concerned about this person's access to guns and found out the person had a stash of guns. So it worked there, but I have control of the state police. Our legislation that we put forth also would require other policing agencies to be just as affirmative in their approach to this instead of passive, but we do have to get that training out there and share more information, and we've not had the resources deployed in the past that I've put in the budget. Even before all this, we have more money in our budget to have that social media surveillance. And also my question always is what does the FBI know and see, and are they sharing that with us? This is where the silos, I have no patience for the silos that exist in law enforcement. We don't want that to happen. You know, we want to be able to share everything we have, which is why part of our legislation is to tell localities within 24 hours, you have to tell us about a gun you confiscate. So that wasn't the case before. They weren't required to tell us about a gun that we might be looking for from another crime. So I'm peeling back all the layers, all the barriers, and saying, we're going to be able to stand here and tell every New Yorker, there's nothing more we can do to protect you. We've done everything we can. And I don't feel that right now. I want to make sure we get there with new legislation, continue to work with our partners, and we'll get to that point because New Yorkers deserve that. Governor, thank you, everybody.
Are you committed to having a special election to replace Tom Reed on August 23rd?
Tom Reed has a little work to do.
Submitted his resignation and posted it on Twitter.
We have been trying tirelessly to reach him to no avail. And I ask about this every day to say, I want you to be able to resign properly. A letter to the governor does not constitute proper resignation. You have to send the letter to the Secretary of State. Now, that may seem like a technicality, but those are the kind of technicalities that a judge would look at and say, you didn't follow it, therefore this is invalid. I don't want that to happen. I don't want us to put something in motion and then say, because everybody's going to challenge, that that's an illegal election. So asking him to do it properly, get it done, and at this point, given the time that has passed, it would make sense to align that with the election that's going on the 23rd of August. It makes sense because I don't think people of that district need to have a June, August, and some other date election. I mean, that's a lot to ask. So we'll line them up now, but we have been trying tirelessly, and actually the Republican Party has been trying to reach him to get this accomplished legally so it'll stand up in court. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you coming out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.